On this episode, we chose to highlight PFLAG Atlanta. PFLAG stands for Parents, Families, and Friends of Lesbians and Gays. It's the first and largest organization for lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, and queer LGBTQ+ people, their parents, families, and allies. With over 400 chapters and 200,000 members and supporters crossing multiple generations of families in major urban centers, small cities, and rural areas across America. Their mission is to keep families and friends in loving relationships by helping them understand and affirm their gay, lesbian, bisexual, or transgender family members. For more information, visit www.pflagatl.org and see how PFLAG is changing Georgia one heart at a time.
This is so hard, but
I have a dream.
I think I've realized that I am.
Why do I have to be so ashamed? I mean, why can't I just say the truth? I mean, be who I am. I'm gay.
Ryan, are you there? Wait, Cece? Cece, can you hear me? Cece? There you are.
You are listening to Cece and Ryan. Join us as we navigate these twisted times with the unique and influential voices of the LGBTQ community for the month of June. All in an effort to bring the message of positivity and inclusivity in a time where we need it the most. Happy Pride.
Happy Pride.
Hey, Ryan.
Hey, Cece, what's going on?
Navigating this heat right now because it's so hot. It's 40 degrees here, which is like, I don't even know, what is that, like 110 degrees in Fahrenheit?
What?
No, not 110, but it's hot.
Shit, Cece. Well, yeah, it's hot as hell here. I walked around town today going to stores in this giant denim cowboy hat, picking up shit at Home Depot. I felt like one with the people. Tons of fun.
Oh my gosh, I love that. You know what I'm sad about? When I moved out of LA, I had so many hats, like so many hats. And now I am like city life and hatless.
Oh no.
Oh, makes me sad. I need to go step up my hat game for the summer.
Oh yes, you need to. I mean, being that it's 9,000 degrees there, you probably need some protection from the damn sun.
You know what? We're getting a little older these days and I got to just protect that face. That's for sure.
Yeah, we're not getting any younger.
No, we're not. Absolutely not. Even though in my mind, I'm only 22.
Exactly. Always in the 20s.
Anyways, but I'm really excited for all of our listeners to know that we have these two fantastic guests.
Oh my gosh.
And I feel like we've been so excited to wrap out Pride Month because of our last three guests. Not that everyone's amazing. But I think it's been, we both really love food too. So I think to talk about food and to have chefs on that are women.
I think that it's a perfect way to close out Pride because food is so unifying, uniting. It like brings people together and it's such a nice way to like end Pride with everyone being able to take a seat at our table and enjoy some talk about peace, love, and soul food.
Yes, exactly.
Right?
But one thing that I really want to talk about is Thanksgiving, because I know you love Thanksgiving so much. So, why do you like Thanksgiving so much, and what is your favorite Thanksgiving dish?
Okay, well, I love Thanksgiving so much because I feel like it's that one day of the year. It's not like Christmas, it's not like Easter, it's just, I feel like it's that one day of the year where family really comes together and you really, in my family, we turn all the way up. Like there's extra amounts of liquor. There's just, everything is just turned up like 20 notches. And I do love, my favorite thing for Thanksgiving is definitely collard greens. My mom hands down makes the most delicious collard greens. She started like adding a little like spicy element to them as well. She builds on it every single year, but with the spice, it's like, holy shit, Kim, what are you doing to me?
Yeah. Oh, Kim. By the way, your Thanksgiving sounds really fun. Turned up. Like, yeah. Can I come to Thanksgiving at your house?
Please do. You know, just visit. Well, she's now in Virginia.
I will drive there. Because here's the thing. I love Thanksgiving so much. And Thanksgiving and Christmas, food-wise, in my family are sort of the same in terms of what we eat.
Yeah.
But Thanksgiving, it always feels like there's a lot more food and everything centered around having food. It's just really – and it is everyone coming together. And it's just for, like, one night. Whereas I think for Christmas, everybody's all over the place. You're trying to get everyone, wrangle everyone. You know, Thanksgiving's always a bit more organized and everyone's just a lot of people. And it's really good. But there's a lot of things that I like for Thanksgiving to eat. But I think my two favorite things that are just unique, well, one that's fairly unique, the other one maybe not so much at all, actually. I don't even know why I said it's unique. This is probably the most basic ingredient to Thanksgiving. sorry. One is cranberry sauce.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. I love the can. The can always needs to be there because I kind of like to do the mix of the can. Like I'll take like a little slice of the can. And then I also like to have whoever in the family brought the homemade cranberry sauce. I'm going to have that too. But you know, it's not always, depending on who cooks it in the family, it's not always the best sauce.
Yeah.
And sometimes people won't bring it. So I always make sure the can exists. But I love the sweet and the salty. That is like my jam.
Sweet potatoes, mac and cheese, collard greens. That's all I need. I'm a side person. I'm a side chick, but not.
Can I just ask you? I know we're bringing on Chef Deborah, but really quickly, do you get dressed up for Thanksgiving? Because I know some people that just like Thanksgiving is just like lounging in your comfy clothes. And at my house, it's not like that. Like everybody gets real, like dressed up. To not leave the house, but like to get dressed up. Yeah.
Oh, hell no. No, we don't get dressed. Lucky if we change our clothes from what we've been cooking in all day.
Oh my God. I love it.
Do you guys play football outside too? Oh my God. You do, don't you?
Listen, I don't. You got to be kidding me. You think I'm going to go play some... Oh, it's a nice little game of touch. Get me the fuck out of here. No, thanks. No, I do not play football. Do the others play football? Yes. And is it because I'm a woman? No, there's women that 100% get involved in that football game. I don't do that. I don't partake in the sports. I help with Nana, which is always really funny in the kitchen. Like my grandmother always comes with lots of meat, you know, and my mom's vegetarian and then she like covers her eyes and then they're like, my grandmother's yelling at my mom and my aunts and everyone's in the kitchen. I don't know if you deal with this, but I just hang out in the kitchen with the crazy.
Oh, the kitchen's the best place to be.
My grandmother.
But everyone tends to like leave me in the kitchen these days. Like I'm left in the kitchen and everyone else like disappears and does their own thing.
Oh my God. Leave her in the kitchen.
Leave her there.
We are so excited to talk to Chef Deborah Vantrease. Chef Deborah doubles as one of Atlanta's hottest chef personalities, executive chef and owner of Twisted Soul Cookhouse and Pours in West Midtown, Atlanta, and the catering company by Vantrease. Chef Vantrease has been featured on the Food Network, Travel Channel, the New York Times, Huffington Post, and BuzzFeed, to name a few. The intersection of food and culture is at the heart of Vantrease's cuisine, which features a creative, modern interpretation of her unique vision of modern global soul food. As a female African-American restaurateur, business owner, and a member of the LGBTQ+ community, Vantrease is also a passionate and vocal advocate for social justice and issues close to her heart. She supports education and action to encourage healthier eating habits among low-income households, and she also wants to shine a light on food insecurity and other issues that impact vulnerable populations. In the words of Chef Vantrease, passion has no gender. Let's bring Chef Deborah Vantrease onto the show. I can't wait to talk to her.
Someone once told me that I had 3 strikes against me. I'm African American, I'm female, and I'm a lesbian. in this culinary world, we are a group of people that are underrepresented. And I chose to not let those three strikes be my out.
Well, Deborah, welcome to the show. Thank you so much for joining us. We're really excited to have you here.
Thank you for the invite. I'm excited to be here.
So before we start, we always like to ask our guests what they're drinking. And so it's pretty hot where I am. I know, like, I don't know what you're drinking, but what are you drinking?
I guess, depending on how you look at it, fortunately or unfortunately, right now I am drinking water. But that may progress into something a little bit stronger as the conversation goes on.
Oh, that's really good. I'm actually, I don't think I've ever, maybe once, actually drank an alcoholic beverage on the show. But today I'm drinking a rosé.
Okay.
Because I feel like I'm talking to a chef. And I was like, I'm gonna have a glass of rosé, and it's the end of the day, and it's really hot here, and it's a cold glass, so I figured it's okay. But
it's perfect. It's perfect. I wish I had a glass of rosé right now.
You and me both. I'm with Chef Deborah, and I have a thermos of water. I just moved, so I don't really have cups and such, but I'm so glad to have my thermos to hold my water.
That's good.
So cheers, ladies.
Cheers. Cheers.
Cheers. Cheers.
So Chef Deborah, just to like kick things off, can you share with our listeners a little bit about who you are, what you do, and where you're currently located?
I am Chef Deborah Van Treese, the executive chef and owner of Twisted Soul Cookhouse and Pours restaurant located in Atlanta, Georgia. We have been operating from that particular location we're in our fourth year. Wow, coming up on 4-year anniversary. And I've been in the business for 20 plus years. Yeah, it's had its ups and downs, but I am happy to say we are still going and hope to continue to keep going.
Yeah. I mean, so we just have to, we gotta ask this question straight off because we feel like this is kind of fate for us to talk to you because our podcast is called Twisted Times and your restaurant is called Twisted Soul. So yeah. We want to know what the inspiration behind Twisted Soul was.
Well, when I went to culinary school, I'd never cooked professionally. It was just a love, a hobby, cooking, entertaining. And, you know, you have classes where you learn all types of cuisines, and you spend quite a bit of time on it, on soul food. You spent a few hours on it, and it was in the category of other. So that long ago, I decided I wanted to do something about just being other, and kind of do a shift in what the idea of soul food had been in the past and twist it up a little bit. You know, there were, you know, a typical soul food restaurant, you know, years ago was basically a cafeteria style or diner type establishment. You know, side items and little side bowls, which, you know, there's nothing wrong with that, but I wanted to, you know, do it a little bit differently, you know, focus on presentation, focus on the twist, that I could do to traditional dishes.
Nice. So is there something, what would you say is your most popular dish at Twisted Soul? Like, what is something that everyone comes in and they're like, yeah, you got to get the...
Well, I would say it would be more an item, okay. An item that is a signature item, an item I know if anyone does it, they got it from me. I've been doing it for over 20 years, actually kind of started my business on this particular item, and it's a collard green roll. And it is, you know, greens that are mixed. I use collard greens, turnip greens, kale, mustard greens, braise them in a traditional Southern manner. But then I take a big collard green leaf and blanch it. And so it's the presentation, you know, of the traditional collard green that is the twist. And it is something that has been written about, spoken about, and people will come specifically and just to try the collard green roll. And it comes with a side like a shot glass of pot liquor. So I would say that item, you know, gets a lot of buzz, and a lot of people like to come and try that.
That sounds delicious. Because the key is not everybody can make collard greens. Like, collard greens is such a difficult green to perfect.
Yeah.
So the collard green roll. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Yeah. We gotta go to Twisted Soul, Cece, and get this collard green roll.
I also have to say that Ryan talks about collard greens a lot, and we were recently talking about Thanksgiving, and she was saying her favorite thing is collard greens. And
oh, so, how cool is that?
I think that's so funny, because here we are with you, and you're talking about collard greens, so that's really good. So I'm really curious, because I read that you were a flight attendant for a while, and I personally, I really don't like to fly. I'm very nervous flyer. I don't like it at all. And I heard someone say that you look at the flight attendant, and if they're okay, then you're okay. So I was just curious if you had to put on a lot of brave faces, or if you really learned anything as a flight attendant that kind of translated into how you run your kitchen as a chef. I know that maybe is a strange question, but I'm curious if those two sort of correlate.
You know, I would think I definitely, yes, there, you know, are lessons learned as a flight attendant that I have brought into a professional kitchen. A lot of it is just life lessons when you think about it. You know, one big one is to be flexible, you know, time is of the essence, and you know, you have to be prepared to fix shit, because shit's gonna happen pretty much.
Yeah,
it's always something gonna happen, and you know, if you want to come out on the better side of it, you better be able to think quickly and prepare for whatever it is.
Yeah.
I know, it sounds like a Girl Scout motto, right? Always be prepared, you know, but yeah.
Yeah.
No, but I also read or heard you say that when you were a flight attendant, you would infuse little things into the dishes that you were creating.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I'm just so curious, like, I mean, if I was a passenger, I just want to know, like, what were the things that you did? Was there anything specific you could think of that you would do that you loved?
It really would be more about, okay, so as a flight attendant, you fly different positions on the plane, all right?
Oh.
For me, my position, you know, became galley, which means that I was controlling the food. And my preference would be in first class. You know, I'm flying international, it's longer flights, and plating and presentation, you know, was a big part of that. You know, not so much anymore, you know, but, you know, I flew for a long time. So I flew, you know, when we were in first class with champagne and caviar service and chilled vodka, you know, and just beautiful, beautiful meals. You know, so the plating was super important to me. You get a little plate diagram, you know, they leave nothing to the imagination. And I would go against the grain and think, you know, well, this actually would look better if we plated it this particular way.
I love that.
I would buy, you know, things on layovers, you know, garnishes, you know, things that I thought would make my plate, you know, a little bit more attractive. And then I was known for buying all types of food, just raw product. And, you know, the passengers would have their meal that was catered, you know, but my crew may be eating duck and jasmine rice with orange sauce that I was making, you know, from scratch on board the airplane. So, yeah, and then passengers would come and smell it and see it and be like, what the hell?
What is going on in first class?
Yeah. Let's go. How can I put that on the menu? Yeah. And look, quite often I'd invite them in, you know, come on in again, like try this, you know. So it was, you know, it made it a happy place for me, you know. As long as I was in the galley, I was happy.
Wow. I have a question for you. It's a little bit of a pivot from our current discussion, but I was listening to an interview that you had, and you were talking about three strikes. Like, you were once told you had three strikes against you. You were Black, you were a woman, and you were a lesbian. But I guess more so now in life, I'm seeing these strikes because I myself feel like I too have these strikes against me, but I'd like to now consider them to be gifts. Because I feel like when you are part of these very unique spaces, you have a very specific way of being very open and inviting to the world around you. And I find that you as a chef have expressed these gifts in the most open and loving way. Like, I just see you as being like Thanksgiving in human form. You're inviting communities in, you're inviting people in, you're opening your space, you're opening your tables, you're just... That's just me having to just tell you about it, just how great you are for a few seconds. But I'm just curious to know how these gifts have influenced you as a chef, and if they ever made you rethink your choices of becoming a chef.
First of all, my choice came from my heart. You know, which there's no gender, there's no color, there's no bias there. It just is what I wanted to do. And even in terms of serving, you know, I've never looked down on what serving meant. You know, I feel like that in itself, you know, and to be good at serving others is an absolute incredible talent to have. And so, you know, with me, I want to open up my heart. And because of that, you know, I think, you know, that it gives people an opportunity to see beyond, you know, the color of my skin, you know, my sexual preference, you know, and the fact that I'm female. You know, I kind of put all of this into my food. You know, all my heart goes into my food. And so when you're tasting the food, the goal is for you not to really know where it comes from, who, you just know it's good. Knowing, on the other hand, you know, that sometimes if you actually see me and know something about me, you know, it sometimes will change your feeling on what you're tasting. Mm-hmm. You know, and it could be positive and it could be negative, but I've chosen not to harp on that. I know, you know, that there are people who, you know, that, you know, one particular article or conversation I had, you know, if you really looked at some of the comments, it's amazing, you know, how so much negativity came out of something that was meant to be so positive, you know. So, you know, it's a driving force, you know. That's the positive of it. It drives me. It makes me know I have to be good, I have to be better. And I put all of my heart into what I do. And I think if people just judge me by, you know, what I'm putting on the plate and not necessarily the story behind it, let the story be the aftermath, you know, that I'm gonna get you, you know, I will capture you. if you were blindfolded, and it's like I've done that before, you know, blindfold people and let you eat where you don't know anything about me, all you're doing is focusing on what flavors and how they dance and how they show love in your mouth, on your tongue. You know, to me, that's kind of how we should live, period, if that makes sense. You know, with, mm-hmm. without that judgment, you know, let's just, you know, think of each other from the heart first, and all of the rest of that, you know, just that's the aftermath. It's just not, it shouldn't be as important as some people make it.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
They're not they're judging something that has nothing to do with the food. I don't know. I love that what you're saying. I think it's like fuel for you to just keep going, and you know, like, you got to keep doing it.
Yeah. Well, you know, when people make a comment and say, what difference does it make? You know, it can be a positive comment or it can be a negative comment.
Right. Right.
And you know, I've learned to figure out which way you're going with it. Because there are a lot of people, if you're being honest, you know, it does make a difference to a lot of people. You know, maybe it shouldn't, but it does. If it doesn't, then we still have a fight ahead of us. You know, we still have to keep fighting. And I'm here for that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm curious, I guess, what would be one of the best stories you've ever told with your food?
You know, actually Thanksgiving, Thanksgiving stories. There's a couple of dishes that I've done. And I remember doing a particular dish. It's a pork tenderloin that's stuffed with a Cajun and Dewey sausage and cornbread dressing. And you know, I did it. It has sweet potatoes, you know, marbled sweet potatoes and green beans and a rosemary au jus. And the flavors remind me of Thanksgiving. And, you know, I made it for someone once, actually, who was interviewing me. We're like being filmed, we're on camera. And, you know, I told her how much Thanksgiving meant to me. You know, it's my favorite holiday. It is, you know, it was my family's favorite holiday. I'm an only child. My mom, you know, would cook for days for Thanksgiving. And, you know, once I moved away, we would talk on the phone for days about what we were cooking in our separate homes about Thanksgiving. You know, so the dish was really a dish that, you know, came from memories, which a lot of my dishes, most of my dishes do. And it really is a dish that tells a story about, you know, my childhood and growing up and Thanksgiving and how much it meant to me. And so, you know, when the interviewer tasted the food, she started crying. Yeah, the camera crew was like, okay, they didn't know what to do. And, you know, it's like I looked at her and she said, I don't know why I'm doing this. This has never happened. But I'm tasting everything that you're saying. And she's like, it took me back home, you know, to my own home. And, you know, for some reason, I feel a need to call my mom right now. And, you know, I think that was one of the most special moments, you know, with my food that I remember. It will stay with me forever. She will, like, always have a place in my heart. But, I mean, she boo-hooed once she tasted it. And, you know, it was everything I was describing to her why I did it. Yeah. So, yeah, that would be it.
Wow.
Thanksgiving is, like, it is truly, like, the most, I don't know, it's just such a special day. It just brings everyone together. It makes everyone feel connected. It takes you back home. It's, like, ancestral. It's just, I love Thanksgiving. Yeah. I can't wait for Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Hopefully I can be with my family on Thanksgiving. So through your work as a chef, as a Black woman, as a woman in the LGBTQ community, you have created a new face of soul food. You have uplifted the female community, the Black community, the LGBTQ community. And usually when someone has that much heart and such a space for creating space for people and stories, I tend to think that they have a support system behind them that helps lift them up so they continue on this journey of continuing to support people. So I guess what we want to know is, who have been some of your biggest supporters in your journey to becoming Chef Deborah?
Definitely, you know, hands down, my family. You know, I have a you know, a couple of friends too who have been through it with me. You know, they knew me when I was married to a man. They knew me when one day I said, you know what, I think I like women now. And they said, okay. You know, they knew me as a flight attendant. Now, okay, I think I want to be a chef. Okay. Mm-hmm. You know, and they've always been there. And they've always said, you know, you should and do what feels good. And, mm-hmm. you know, just positive and happy for me. My daughter and my wife, you know, are, of course, my biggest fans. And they help me when, you know, the face that everybody sees, you know, or want to see is this strength, the strength and the power, you know, but sometimes I'm worn down, you know, sometimes I get tired, you know, I get physically tired, I get emotionally tired, I hurt, you know, to see, you know, some of the inequalities, you know, that I'm fighting for, some things that don't change quick enough. You know, in the position I am, I also kind of become the dumping ground for sometimes, you know, the bad things that are happening to people. And they're looking for answers or, you know, looking for encouragement. And it all builds up sometime, you know, and they're my wife and my daughter, you know, they're the ones that, you know, when I feel like I need to fall for a minute, you know, they put their arms around me, they hold me up and keep me going. So, you know, even now I'm at this point to tell them, okay, I can't take no more. It's been too much. You know, it's been just so much, you know, the last few months. You know, so, you know, we shut down the restaurant this coming weekend. You know, they're like, okay, we'll just shut it down. Okay. You know, I'm like, all right, makes sense to me. You know, they're like, just, you know, take a break, you know, take a mental break. You know, and we're just going to sit in the house and just, you know, cater to you, love on you for a while. So,
yeah,
they definitely, you know, are the ones that make me okay.
It's great to hear women supporting women, even when they're your children and your partners. Yeah. It's just so great to have a strong female support system.
Yes.
So,
yeah. Especially when you're doing a lot, you know, it's really easy to run yourself down if you don't have that. So I think it's having that around you is just so important. And so it's so nice to hear that you've got that support. So,
yeah. And I think it is for everybody, especially now, you know,
yeah, because, oh my gosh,
you know, our lives have changed so drastically and, you know, where we got relief before, you know, whether it was, okay, I'll go out dancing or, you know, yeah. Oh, I'll just, you know, go to a bar, have some cocktails. I'm gonna hit happy, okay. You know, whatever it was, you know, even the gym, you know, like, okay, I haven't seen my trainer in 3 months. And, right. You know, it's just all of those outlets that we have been closed. So, you know, it does help for, you know, I hope everybody has someone, you know, close to them that they can, you know, get the mental support and emotional support they need right now.
Has there been like a major lesson that you've learned about yourself during this period of pandemic and this past month, which has just been very, very heavy and a time of complete and total necessary radical justice. Is there something that you've learned about Chef Deborah in this time?
I think, you know, and I'm still wrestling with this, but my wife tells me, okay, you know, that I am considered a leader. And people are watching, you know, more than I realize. Yeah, you know, what I do and listening to what I say. So, you know, it's something that, you know, according to my wife, it's been there for a while. You know, it seems to be twice fold right now. You know, so, you know, grasping on to that and embracing it, you know, is something that I'm coming to terms with. And understanding more and more, you know, I get calls every day for, you know, this, what do we do? And, you know, just without realizing what I was doing, you know, in the conversations I've had and the positions I've taken, you know, and how vocal I can be, you know, I find myself, you know, now being looked upon as a leader, and, you know, wanting to make sure that I don't take that for granted. And, you know, I am a good leader, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
I am. So I would love to know, because it's Pride Month. Well, it's the beginning of July, but every day is Pride. but I'm curious, if you could choose a piece of LGBTQ culture, whether that's a movie or a poem or a song, something that really shaped you or changed you or just something that you really love, what would that be?
You know, really, it would be, I think, the honesty of the community. You know, I think as a group, we are some very open and honest people. Mm-hmm. You know, the whole term of being out, you know, you show, you know, a fearlessness that, right, you know, no other, to me, group of people or culture, you know, shows so strongly, you know, right. You know, to be out, you pretty much have to be fearless because, you know, someone's coming for you, you know, right. Someone's yeah. coming for you. And, you know, to, you know, acknowledge, you know, who you are, and take all of the, you know, the good, the bad, and the ugly that comes with it. You know, that pure honesty, you know, is to me just, unmatched. It's unequal to, you know, any group that I know.
I absolutely love what you just said.
Yes.
And I know Ryan's probably listening to you. Maybe you're thinking this, Ryan, but this is so much of what I am to
yes,
be out.
Yes, Cece's on this whole, she's been on this whole journey articulating this very thing that you just said.
But you actually, you articulated it much better than I ever could have, to be quite honest with you. I struggle with articulating how I feel. It's one of my biggest problems. My partner tells me it all the time, but I feel that way. There's something, you are willing to step out into the world in your authentic self and knowing, like you said, that someone is coming for you and you yeah. better believe it could be mm-hmm. your parent.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
it is the closest yes. thing to your heart that you yeah. thought would never, and yeah. they do. And you yeah. truly, it's odd, now that I'm saying this, but you see people's true colors
yes,
when you're out. And yeah, I love what you said. And I just thank you.
Yeah. You're welcome.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of colors, if you had to choose any color in the rainbow that best matched Chef Deborah's soul, aura, what color would that be?
Pink. It would be pink. You know? It would be pink. You know? I mean, it's like, I think pink is such a girly color.
It's so girly.
It is such a girly color. And you know, it is, I'm very girly, you know, but I also feel like it is a bold, you know, because I like that fuchsia, you know, bright.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
It's very bold. It's very truthful. It's honest, you know, and it's strong. Mm-hmm. You know, so it would definitely be like pink, mm-hmm. bright pink.
Yes.
I love it. It's like the passion of red, but like, yeah. you're not going to yeah. fully see all of my yeah. goods.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like kind of sneaky, but it's unafraid.
It's a little everything, you know?
Yeah.
It's pink, you know?
Yeah.
And if it's fuchsia, you know, you can lean it to, you know, a little bit of red. You could go a little orange. That day. Yeah. You know, it's like, it's just right there, you know?
Love it.
It's so great when you just get to have conversations with people and truly your essence comes out in the way that you speak. And I wish, we wish you all the best. Twisted Soul is going to be thriving this year.
Thank you.
And thank you. Thanksgiving, maybe we can roll out to Atlanta and get us some hot green rolls.
Oh, yeah. And then I cook at home for Thanksgiving. Sometimes it's because we close the restaurant. And I'm like, we're not open. But there's times I've had to just have Thanksgiving dinner at the restaurant because I will invite everybody. You know? If I find out you don't have, you know, you could be at the store and you say, no, I wish I had somewhere to go. I'm like, well, you can come over to our house. I'm known for, you know, the more the merrier. I don't want you to bring anything. You know, because I do come from that old school adage of, okay, we don't know what they cook like, so let's
we don't want your dishes.
Yeah, it's like, no, don't worry about it. We got you covered. Yeah.
Potato salad?
Exactly.
Oh, that is so
Gosh, Deborah. Oh my gosh. Thank you so much,
Deborah.
You're so welcome.
For more information on today's episode, please visit the description. Be sure to follow us on Instagram at Twisted Times, a podcast, and of course, our guest at Chef Deborah Van Treese. If you would like to continue to support Cece and Ryan as they allow for a space to amplify marginalized voices, you can purchase one of our Twisted Times t-shirts on our website, www.twistedvalleyfilms.com.